Welcome to episode 219 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4T.com community. That is gaming for the elderly, and today is May 14th, 2013. We are the video game podcast with all kinds of extra sound clips, sound bites, like breathing through your nose. Yes,
we have no sound bites.
Free of charge.
We have no sound bites.
This is true. We really don't. We have very few. But we do have guest hosts, or hosts, I should say. Not guest hosts. You guys are just regular hosts.
Greg, Rich and I have been on the show for almost 4 years now, and you're still referring to us as guests.
I know.
I'm insulted.
You should
In fact, I think I'm leaving.
So on the show today, Richard Primrose.
Hello. Skulldugger here. I am the loudest cowboy in this town.
Yes, you are, my friend. Also on the show this week, Mike Chin.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
And apparently boycotting the show now, but definitely worth mentioning, Mr. Chris Matthew. Silence is golden, Chris. Thank you for that. I'm the other host, Greg DeLacy, and yeah, we talk video games. So I'm thinking we just jump into it. Let's talk video games, guys.
All right, let's do that.
All right, so I don't think there's a heck of a lot to play. I know Chris has one game he's dying to talk about because he finished it this week.
I have to
say, Mike, why don't... Yes.
Given the vast library of video games, not all of them good, grant you, but if you think about all of video game dumb stretching back to 1984 or whatever, there's always something to play.
This is true. There is always something to play. Maybe not always something worthwhile playing.
I guess that depends on how you think about it. What would you like me to talk about, Greg? You seem to be very interested in my list here.
I think we should hear about your experience with Journey.
I had a wonderful experience with Journey. I played it for about 15 minutes when it first came out, and I thought to myself, this is interesting. This is something different. And then I never went back to it. I don't know why, but this weekend I was at home. I don't have my Xbox or my PC at home. I just have my PS3. And I was like, you know what? Let's see what this Journey is about. It's short. It only took me about an hour and a half to get through it. But it was good. I liked it. It's artsy fartsy.
Did you play with somebody else?
Well, lots of other travelers, popped in and out of my game.
Okay.
Some of them were trying to help me, like they had been through it before, and they would, the only way you can interact with another player is by pressing the circle button, and your little avatar makes this musical note. And so there was one point where this one individual was trying to point out to me where all the power-ups were.
Right.
The little things you could find that make your scarf longer. There was one point where I was stuck, and I'd been wandering around this area for about 5 minutes trying to figure out how to get out, and this other character comes in and goes to the thing that I need to do and starts pushing the little song note button really, really fast. I was like, this person is trying to show me something. So I went over there, and then he showed me how to – I say he. I don't know. He, she showed me how to get out of that area. So that was neat. It was neat to just sort of have people according to my stats, I had 8 different people coming in and out of the game as I was proceeding through.
So excellent.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good. It was an innovative game.
Now let me ask you this question: now, having played it and finished it, would you have put it up for possible game of the year last year?
No, I don't. I don't think it was that caliber. I didn't get that much enjoyment out of it. I did enjoy it. I did find it challenged our notions of video games, but I don't think it was, on the level of influence of some of the other games we talked about.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else you wanted to add on Journey, or do you want to move forward?
No. I think that's enough about Journey. Of course, I played Far Cry 3 and Skyrim. I almost picked up Blood Dragon, but then I started listening to the Player One podcast, and they just slagged Blood Dragon. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. I was like,
yeah, that's the first time I've heard anyone say anything about it.
Mormon Rage is on it, and he's a bit controversial.
They were all, there was only one of them that liked it. Everybody else was everybody else hated it.
Hmm.
And there was one other podcast I listened to that, that they weren't big fans of it either. So I decided I'm going to wait on that one to see if the price comes down.
Have you played the trial yet?
Of Blood Dragon?
Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, you can, once you get back to your Xbox, download the trial. I think it's actually on PS3 as well.
I don't
have a demo of
it. I haven't checked. I realize the two games are the Blood Dragon plus Far Cry 3 are not really related in any way whatsoever. So there's no need to finish one before the other. But for some reason, my brain says that it's DLC for Far Cry 3, so I need to finish it first.
Just play the demo. You will quickly understand that you don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, and I understand what it's all about, but there's no demo on Steam, unfortunately.
Hmm.
This makes me sad. Anyway, played some more Skyrim, and I tried out Zach Zero, which is It's one of these kind of 2.5D. I muted myself and then coughed and then said, excuse me, that makes no sense. It's one of these 2.5D side-scrolling games. Very nice color palette, although the rest of it looks a little bit janky, but it was $7, so what do you expect? It's got the sort of classic hero story, aliens kidnapped my girlfriend, I got to go get her back.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, in the future, apparently. Very serious issue. So the kind of premise of the game is you have this power suit, and so you have three different powers and then no power. So you have the stone power, the ice power, and the fire power, and each of them offers you different attacks and different attributes, and so you have to switch between them to navigate through various puzzles, although none of them are horribly difficult. You know, there's switches, and you can only flip a switch if you have the stone power activated. But then if the stone power is activated, you move more slowly, and you can't jump. The freeze power gives you the ability to slow down time. So if there's like a moving spike pit that seems to be also a problem in video game world, you can slow down time to get through that. The fire suit makes you run faster. And you can also use it to do ranged fire attacks. And your suit has a limited power meter. So as you use attacks, it drains the power. And if you run out of power, it just switches you back into the regular suit. I don't know. It's fun. It's not awesome, but it's fun.
Okay.
If you like side-scrolling games.
Well, awesome, but not, you know, kind of fun. That's worth taking a chance on, I suppose.
For $7. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is on Steam.
I bought it on Steam. Yes, I don't know if it's on XBLA or any of the other outlets. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
Okay. Excellent, Mr. Primrose. Why don't we move right into you?
I've just been playing two games this week. The first one, linking into Chris, is Far Cry 3: Blood Dragon.
Okay.
So I put probably about another 3 hours into it. Mainly been just progressing the story. So I think I might be quite close to the end. It's good. It's definitely good. A couple of niggles. I don't feel like the guns are as satisfying as what you've got in the main Far Cry game. They've got some big beefy guns, and they've got some cool attachments for them. And it seems as if the leveling on the guns is a lot slower than what you was getting in the main game. You know, if you wanted to go off and do the quests, then you can go in the menus and you could see what you needed to do to get additional things for your weapons or, you know, extra weapon ammunition carrying and so on like that. You could quite easily find that out. Well, the way they've got the leveling in this one is it's basically XP, and once you hit a certain level, it'll give you certain things to do with your health bar and so on. And then there's things to do with collectibles, which are unlocking attachments on, say, sniper rifles and so on, which I might be a noob, but it's not in plain sight how I find out what I've got to get to unlock what cool stuff on what gun. So purely by accident, last night, I unlocked probably the coolest thing I've unlocked up to yet, which was explosive rounds on your sniper rifle, which is so cool because there's a lot of things that can blow up in this game. So you can quite easily shoot stuff from afar now and blow up loads of Cybermen. Something I noticed as well, I feel like I'm killing lots of Daft Punks because all the bad guys in this look like Daft Punk. So yeah, that struck me last night. But overall, it is enjoyable. I'm not thinking at all about the story. I'm in agreement with probably some of the stuff what they were saying on Player One that Chris was referring to. I'm getting a bit tired of the 16-bit cutscenes. I'm thinking, if you would have put a bit more effort into that and gone with the normal stuff, then fair enough. But I can see why they've done it, but it is probably just purely to cut down on cost, I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
you know, for rolling it out.
Without a doubt.
But yeah, I don't want to be too down on it because it is, when I'm sat playing it, it is exactly like Far Cry 3. It is a time sponge. You will sit there and happily get yourselves absorbed in it. And then, it's got interesting missions and stuff as well, which was quite refreshing. It wasn't just, there was a brilliant Aliens type referral last night that I really enjoyed. That was good. So somebody's doing something good with Aliens. and another thing that I noticed last night that I thought was excellent, and it was just a little detail, is you know how you always have like the little icon to show that you've gone prone or if you crouch down? Well, if you look at your guy's icon when you click the crouch button, he doesn't do the crouch thing holding a gun. If you look at him, he's actually the Terminator. You know when he... when he's in a ball and he's come out of the time travel.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was excellent. So, yeah. Yeah, okay. It's making me laugh, and that's worth it.
Did it make you lol?
Oh, yeah. A couple of times it has done. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah. Yeah, so there's good stuff in there, definitely, to be had. And the other thing was a demo I've been playing. Now, this is the first time my son's come back and told me we've got to download a demo. He never does that ever. But he went round to his mate's house and he says, look, we've got to play this game. So the game was WWF, or is it E, All-Stars.
Let me
play this game. WWE
All-Stars. It's not new, is it? It's got like Hulk Hogan in it and stuff.
Right.
It's got some of the new
a couple months ago.
Yeah, it's got some of the new ones in it. I know that.
It's not a new game though, is it?
I know. I'm not sure how old or new it is.
I think it's a few months back.
Somebody tell me. I think it's like last year. Is it? Well, that's fine. So it's about a year.
When I say old game, I mean like it doesn't. It's not brand new this week.
Right.
Yeah, is it probably like the last one that came out?
Yeah,
on that?
I think it came out last year, yeah. I remember, yeah. I think I played the demo. I remember liking it.
I really liked it.
No, I don't like wrestling really at all, but I like this.
Yeah, we had a blast on it. It's brilliant. And you can go out the ring, you can go around the outside, and it's got loads of, you can counter people quite easily. So the controls were really good for both me and him, because I don't consider myself to be any sort of street fighting dude, but I think, you know, if you're of a level that you can enjoy something like Mortal Kombat, seems as if it's a bit easier than Street Fighter, then this is, it seems as if it's worth a punt. I think we're going to try and get the main game because there's loads of characters in it and he's already shouting out for The Undertaker. So, yeah, worth a go, definitely for the demo, just for a laugh. If you wanna have a play with your kids, because I know quite a lot of us have got kids out there, so yeah, give it a go. Good,
right on.
Good.
Okay. Anything else, Rich?
No, that's about it. That's me. Done.
Okay. Mike, I'll go first before we wrap
Hold on,
up
Greg,
with you.
Before you go, I have a question for the Raptor users around the internet. I need some help. I just accidentally deleted a game from my collection on Raptor. So if you know how to return it, let me know.
Okay.
You can just send that to my Twitter.
You know what? And I actually know the exact authority you should reach out to on Raptor. And that would be customerservice@raptor.com.
Yeah, but surely there's a way to do it without bothering them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, for like, the people whose job it is to do.
Surely there's a way that I can just go find it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. It was actually a very light week for me gaming-wise. I had all kinds of good intentions to get a bunch of gaming in before I left to go visit my parents over the weekend, and none of that came to fruition. So it was XCOM. I actually failed my Iron Man attempt, literally lost the entire game, and so I've rebooted it and restarted it. But I have a new strategy. I am foregoing researching laser weapons early in the game.
Yeah, yeah, you should do that. My recommendation would be skip laser weapons altogether and go so focus on armor early and then focus on capturing early so you can go straight to plasma.
Yeah, that is my plan. I did download the Doritos Crash Course free game, but I've yet to play it. So that's something to look forward to on the horizon. And I also got word that Metro Last Light is on its way to me. So we shall see what my thoughts are on that.
I'll get my son doing some extra training just so he's got the head start on you, Greg, as far as the Crash Course is concerned.
Needs to be a rematch.
Yep.
I hope I don't make him cry again.
You better not.
All right. Now, Mike, why don't we get on to you then? What have you been playing this past week?
Pretty light week for me as well. Batman, Arkham City still taking up my time.
Okay.
And that's it, really. So, my opinion.
Any changing opinion?
Not really, no. I mean, it's getting a little bit easier to traverse across the city. But,
okay.
I don't know, I still prefer Asylum, but it's still a great game. And I thought, I've had the boss fight with Freeze, and I didn't like it. I thought it was just a bit crap. So...
Is that the one in the lab?
Yeah.
I didn't mind that.
I wasn't impressed. But yeah, it's still very good. Like, I'm not saying it's bad or anything. It's just more Batman, so it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it really. Look, I haven't played much else.
It's okay. You're allowed to, get involved with work once in a while.
Yeah.
Just once in a while.
Is that everybody?
Just him. Yeah, that is everybody. We're ready to move on.
But before we move on, if you've already tweeted me about Raptor, thank you, but I've sorted it out.
I bet you checked into that old FAQ section of Raptor.
Actually, no, I just searched for Battlefield 3, and once it came up, there's a little button that says add game.
Nicely done,
FAQs
Chris.
FAQs are for noobs.
All right, on that note, we're going to talk new releases.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, so new releases out this week. It pretty much is the same story for the Wii and the Wii U, except there is some DLC available for the Wii U this week.
Yay!
Yes, Assassin's Creed 3, The Tyranny of King Washington, The Redemption, out on the Wii U marketplace. Basically, $8. And that's it for Nintendo. No 3DS releases, no Wii, no Wii U. So hopefully you've bought Assassin's Creed 3 for the Wii U if you have a Wii U.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Moving on to the PS3, Metro Last Light comes out to the retail shelves. A bunch of games coming out on PSN this week. Dust514 gets its official release, and from what I understand, worth checking out, even if you played the beta before. Apparently, they've done a lot of improvements to this go-round, so it's going to cost you nothing to check it out, so you might as well if you have a PS3. Manhunt comes out to the PSN network. It's a PS2 classic, if you will. Metro Last Light, also available for download day and date. It's always nice. Rune Factory, Tides of Destiny, Star Wars Pinball, and Tiny Token Empires, all available for download on the PSN. There's three different demos out available this week as well. Resident Evil Revelations, Star Wars Pinball, and Tiny Tokens Empires. A bunch of DLC as well coming out for PSN this week. Borderlands 2 Psycho Bandit Pack, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Uprising DLC out, Dishonored The Void Walkers Bundle out this week, and Metal Gear Rising Blade Wolf out on PSN for DLC. And last, but certainly not least for PSN, Sound Shapes 80s Sound Pack and also the Dubstep Sound Pack are available both for DLC. Moving over to the PS Vita, no new retail releases, but there are a couple PSN games, Jacob Jones and the Bigfoot Mystery, and Star Wars Pinball. And, of course, the Sound Shapes DLC, 80s Sound Pack, and Dubstep Sound Pack available as well. Moving over to the Xbox 360, Metro Last Light hits the retail shelves this week. And on Xbox Live Arcade this week, you've got Hunter's Trophy America and Sanctum 2, which, interestingly enough, is kind of like a first-person defense grid.
Ooh!
Yeah, yeah, thought that might pique your interest.
Don't get too excited. I tried the demo of Sanctum, and it was... meh.
Okay. Well, don't get too excited, but you should be at least able to check it out.
Greg, don't take the name of defense grid in vain.
I would never do that. I meant what I said. It is a first-person shooter-like defense grid game. Okay. Demo's out this week.
It's not really. It's...
Sanctum 2.
It's more like trenched.
It's changed the game.
Is it like Monday Night Combat?
It's more like trenched.
It's a little more like Trench, at least the first one was, but I believe they've changed up the second one.
I'm sure they changed it up, but...
You just can argue
with that. I just don't think they changed it that much. That's all. I'll try it. I'll keep an open mind.
All right, demos. Resident Evil Revelations out this week. DLC, Borderlands 2, Psycho Bandit Pack. Dishonored, the Void Walkers Bundle. Gears of War Judgment Dreadnought map comes out this week, so if you have Gears of War Judgment, it's a free map. And Metal Gear Rising Blade Wolf out this week. I know that if you're a Battlefield 3 player and you have not gotten any of the DLC up until now, now is the time because it's all half off. So all the map packs, the season pass, everything half off, so... if you're missing something, go check it out. Games on demand this week, Lego Lord of the Rings and Samurai Warriors 2 Empires. Moving over to the PC and Mac this week, Anomaly 2 comes out to PC and Mac. Borderlands 2 Psycho Bandit Pack coming to PC and Steam. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Uprising also on PC and Steam. Dishonored The Void Walkers Bundle. Luxor 2 HD. These are all coming to the PC. I'll let you know if it's a Mac game. How's that? Metro Last Light coming for PC. And Nancy Drew, Ghost of Thornton Hall. Mike, if you had a Mac, you could play that.
No.
I believe the game is called Reus. R-E-U-S. It's available on PC download. Mm-hmm. Never heard of it. Sanctum 2, PC. And Thunder Wolves comes out to the PC this week as well.
Thunder.
That does it for your new releases. All right, so we're going to move right into the news quiz, guys.
Yay,
are you ready?
News quiz!
Everybody's excited for the news quiz. You should be. You totally should be. Mike, this week you are playing for at Steffi Business.
Right. Okay, Steffi.
Sorry, at Steffi Business.
All right. Your business is now my business.
Yes, Chris, you are playing for at PGTips77.
Yeah, PGTips. Woo!
PGTips gets a special shout out for the link he sent us, which was a twit pick from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire of a woman answering the question of which of the following is the largest: A, peanut; B, elephant; C, the moon; or D, kettle, or a kettle. And she selected the elephant. Good job, anonymous woman.
An elephant is very large, Greg, and if you were to be standing next to one and look up at the moon, the elephant would indeed seem larger.
Well played, Chris. Well played. Wouldn't get you any points, but well played. Rich, you are playing for at Mr. Killer Cranky this week.
Come on, Brian. Let's do it.
All right, so we have our players in place. I will point out this week there is an equal number of news questions and trivia questions, 6 and 6. So everything will be a news question until news questions are eliminated off the board, or, of course, if the trivia questions are all gone off the board. But we'll start with the news question.
Ramping it up.
And the order this week, Rich, you go first.
I am.
Oh, dear.
Mike, you are second.
Boom.
And Chris, of course, you are third.
This is terrible. Boom.
Here we go with the first question, a news question. And this goes to Mr. Primrose. Rich, what other event of interest involving Star Wars was uncovered on the day EA Core Games, the Core Games deal with EA was announced by Disney? Was it A, Lucasfilm registered a bunch of domains including Star Wars ones? B, EA listed a new job posting for Star Wars brand manager? C, Disney quietly made a deal with Zynga for casual Star Wars games?
Didn't hear anything about the Zynga thing. I know that they retained the rights to do their own mobile stuff, but I never heard any mention of Zynga. I'll go for the brand manager one.
Okay. Well, Rich, this week Lucasfilm actually registered a bunch of different domains for the unannounced Star Wars projects. And they included StarWarsRebels.com, StarWarsWolfpack.com, WookieeHunters.com, WolfpackAdventures.net, among a bunch of others. So, unfortunately, no, not the brand manager.
I hope they don't make a Wookie Hunters game. I mean, the Wookiees are such a proud and noble race. Why should you pick on them? I realize that the Mandalorian bounty hunters, they all had Wookiee pelts. That was like their rite of passage. But really, Boba Fett had two lines in the whole thing. I don't know why he's such a popular character anyway.
I love that you brought that to relevance.
Whoa, what are your thoughts on Ewok hunting, Christopher?
Yeah, fuck, Ewok hunting.
Fuck. See, I'm trying not to swear and I'm failing miserably. Ewoks, all you want.
Fair enough.
Because they're delicious.
Okay. Ewoks, delicious to eat. Not just fuzzy creatures. All right, Mr. Chin,
hello.
I believe it's coming to you next. You are getting a news question.
Yeah.
Here we go. Sony Mobile Games announced they were changing their pricing model for licensing games on their platform from $99 to what? Is it A, free, B, $39, or C, $79?
$79.
Mike, previously developers had to pay a $99 publishing licensing fee, but Sony has waived that to encourage more developers to sign up. So no, in fact, it is zero free.
Wow.
Yeah, they're really pulling out all the stops trying to get people to jump on board their mobile platforms.
Please, my game.
Pretty much.
Please.
All right, well, that brings us to you, Mr. Matthew. We are strumming through the news questions, which means the trivia questions are starting to pile
Uh-oh.
Up. Yeah. All right, here we go. Mr. Matthew, it's more EA news. What did EA announce last Wednesday with regards to its sports games? A, FIFA exclusive license now goes to 2022. B, the NFL exclusive license now goes to 2022. Or C, the NHL exclusive license now goes to 2022.
It was NFL, NHL, or what?
Or FIFA.
FIFA. Let's go with FIFA. FIFA?
Yes. The Electronic Arts and the Fédération Internationale de Football Association did, in fact, sign an agreement that will continue the exclusivity all the way up until December 31st, 2022.
That's a long time.
Did you see that thing that there was on about to do with the websites and stuff? They took up the trademarks for every year up to 20, and then Rock Paper Shotgun, the PC website, went out and bought 21.
So what Richard is referring to is Battlefield 3.
That was it, Battlefield. That was
Battlefield,
it, sorry.
Yes. EA bought up all of the Battlefield domains for basically, you know, 5 through 2020, basically. And this other company came along and said, nope, we'll get 21.
That's good. That's smart. I wish I'd have thought of it.
Yeah.
They may not be able to get it. All right. Chris, you've got control here.
Yeah.
So does
trivia.
Does Rich.
Let's get some trivia out there. Let's see what's
let's
up.
Let's get some trivia rolling. All right. Rich, this week's trivia is in honor of next week's Xbox event. Okay, so that's the theme of trivia this week. So, Mr. Primrose, what was the first game announced at the 2005 Xbox 360 MTV event? Okay, was it A, Project Gotham Racing 3, sorry, Project Gotham Racing 3, B, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 6, or C, Tony Hawk American Wasteland?
Gotham. I want a RAM on the Xbox.
You wasn't alive?
No, wouldn't it? I wasn't into gaming when it first came out, really. I know Gotham Racing was an early game, wasn't it? And Tony Hawk had been around for a while.
They're all early games. I think it's just.
Are they all early games? Sorry.
These all were legitimately games that came out with the Xbox 360.
Yeah. I'm gonna go only because it's the one that only really know. I'm gonna go with. Mind you, Gotham. If it's not a name, you wouldn't be going with it, would you? Tony Hawk. That's a big name. And the kids on MTV would relate. I'm going to go Tony Hawk.
Well, after a music set played by the Killers, coming back from a TV commercial, Jim Shayer was backstage with Tony Hawk, who announced his game American Wasteland was going to be on the Xbox 360 and finally on Xbox Live.
Get it.
On a side note, Tiger Woods was the second game to be confirmed for the Xbox 360 that night. So well done, Mr. Primrose. Well done. You are on the board, which means you have some control here. Does Mike get a news question, or does he get a trivia question?
Trivialize that boy,
huh? All right. Mike, give me one second here. I'm making sure I get my scoring correct here. We are moving over to trivia for you. All right. Your trivia question, Where am I here? There's so many
different podcasts
here. I know. Fantastic podcasting. Okay, Mike. After the Xbox 360 was brought to the stage at the 2005 MTV Xbox 360 event, what happened next? A Project Gotham trailer was teased. B, the Killers played a musical set. Or C, Jay Allard took the stage and talked about Gamer Girl.
Well, it's not the Killers, is it? Because you just said that they played before. What was the first one?
He could be tricking.
It was A, Project Gotham trailer was teased. B, the Killers played a musical set. Or C, Jay Allard took the stage and talked about Gamer Girl.
Project Gotham 1.
Okay. Actually, it was A. The Killers played Mr. Brightside.
Oh, man.
So they brought out the Xbox 360 on stage, and what did they do? The very next thing was the Killers played Mr. Brightside.
Brightside.
I am sorry, Mr. Chin, but that means, Mr. Matthew, you get a news question. Of course, this could be playing right into your hands, Mike.
Okay.
Maybe you purposely threw it.
What do we
do? All right. Chris, here we go. Sony financials for fiscal year 2012 were released. Did they show A, a profit, B, loss, or C, zero growth, zero decline?
Are we talking about Sony Inc. or Sony Games?
Sony, the entire company, financials for fiscal year 2012 were released.
for the entire year, 2012.
Clickety click.
No, I'm just trying to think here. I have no idea. Zero. Zero.
Sony has released their financial results for the fiscal year of 2012, and as expected, they've made a profit, although largely based on their real estate.
Real estate.
Yeah. Curiously enough, they did announce the PS3 and PS2 numbers, but it was a combined number. So they said the PS3 and PS2 totals are now at 80.4 million. So it's not really clear how many PS2s have been shipping out because they stopped counting those for so long, and then suddenly they were counting them together. Just a little oddity in their reporting. But either way, you know, I'm happy to see Sony at least climbing back out of it, even if it was through real estate deals, because let's face it, they needed some help.
When you say real estate deals, what do you mean?
They sold off some of their big properties.
They sold off their big office buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah. They actually sold off two big office buildings. One was in New York, and I believe one was in Japan. So there you go. All right. Well, Mike, that means you are up next for a news question. Uh-oh. And here is your question, Mike. Silicon Knights, in the news recently for losing a multi-million, multi-year lawsuit against Epic Games, recently made what move? A, sold all their assets to Precursor Games. B, announced the spiritual successor to Eternal Darkness called Shadow of the Eternals. Or C, sold all their IP to Human to Epic Games.
Oh, shit. You didn't say what I thought you was going to say.
I actually know this one. It's shady.
Can you repeat it, please? Because I was waiting for the thing. I was waiting for the... I thought I knew it, right?
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Here we go. Silicon Knights recently made what move? Did they sold all their assets to Precursor Games. B, announced the spiritual successor to Eternal Darkness called Shadow of the Eternals. Or C, sold off all of their IP for two Human to Epic Games.
It's the spiritual successor to Eternal Darkness.
So, Mike, something shady's going on in good old Canada. And basically it plays out like this. Yesterday it was reported that Precursor Games, which is working on the curiously funded Shadow of the Eternals, a spiritual successor to Silicon Knights' Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem, bought and implemented Silicon Knights assets into their new project.
Mm-hmm.
So Precursor Games has bought all of Silicon Knights assets.
Well,
they're the ones working on Eternal Darkness, not Silicon Knights.
They have to destroy all them assets.
No, they didn't have to destroy them. That's Epic Games.
Not only did they buy all the assets, they actually have a lot of the Silicon Knights employees now working for them.
Yes, this was the very curious part of this. So we all know Dennis Dyack. He was the head of Silicon Knights. Right. And despite there being, quote-unquote, no connection to Silicon Knights, according to Precursor Games, CEO Paul Capocci?
Mm.
I don't know. That's a tough one to say. Anyway, former Silicon Knight head Dennis Dyack confirmed that he left Silicon Knights and was now chief creative officer at Precursor Games.
Silicon Knights still exists or what?
Silicon Knights is still open in the strictest sense. Like, there's nobody in the office. The office is just kind of open and receiving mail. So for all intents and purposes, they're shut down. They sold off everything to Precursor and basically, I think, just have shifted employees over to Precursor. It is going to be really curious to see how this plays out in the long run. But, so, there you have it. Silicon Knights not working on the successor to Eternal Darkness, but Precursor Games is.
Don't tell me it's a Kickstarter as well.
Yeah, that's...
It was, that's what I was waiting for.
That's what I was waiting for. I was like, they've announced a Kickstarter, and I was like, shit.
It wasn't actually a Kickstarter, though, was it? It was something else.
They were doing a Yeah, it was. They were doing their own Kickstarter. They weren't going through Kickstarter.
Well, they can't because Kickstarter is U.S. and U.K. only. It's not available in Canada or whatever.
Right. So they kind of made up their own Kickstarter, and from what I understand, it wasn't funding nearly what they had wanted, but I don't know if they're going to cancel it if it doesn't fund enough or what. But anyway. All right, let's move on with the news quiz. Gosh, that means, Chris, you are up.
It's me.
You're getting the last. Yes, you're getting the last news question. After this, it is all trivia.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so here we go. Mr. Matthew, Square Enix posted a net loss of approximately $134 million for the fiscal year ending March 31st. As a result, which of the following steps is being taken? A, increasingly targeting tablets and smartphones. B, stopping production on AAA IP that does not have a proven $5 million plus potential for its opening week. Or C, shutting down Square Enix Europe.
Wow. Square Enix. I'm going to say cutting down or shutting down Square Enix Europe. No?
Per Joystick, the business environment surrounding the Square Enix group is in the midst of major changes, where smart devices such as smartphones and tablet PCs are spreading rapidly. Square Enix stated today during their results call, while the console game markets in North America and Europe are increasingly competitive and we'll just move past that one. words are tough to say. I swear to God, I can't even say it. Anyway, in the light of such environmental changes, the group is focusing all efforts on a substantial earnings improvement through driving reforms to the business structure in order to establish new revenue base. The company said it will increasingly target smartphones and tablets, citing Final Fantasy Airborne Brigade and Kaku Sansei Million Arthur as satisfactorily profitable.
Nah.
So yeah, smartphones for the win. Okay, this is getting interesting, folks. So we have Mr. Matthew with 1 point, Mr. Primrose with 1 point, Mike's sitting at zero.
Yeah.
And we're moving into nothing but trivia now.
This is exciting stuff.
All right, here we go. It is nail biting. All right, Mr. Primrose.
Mm.
What was the actual first game shown at the 2005 Microsoft E3 event? Okay, was it A, Half-Life 2, B, MotoGP 3, or C, Ultimate Spider-Man?
What was the first one again?
Half-Life 2, and then you had MotoGP 3, or Ultimate Spider-Man.
I was going to go with a race last time, won't I? And I didn't. I'm going to go with... Let's blaze it off with a game of movie tie-in. Spider-Man.
All right, so the order in which it happened was Half-Life 2, then MotoGP, then Ultimate Spider-Man. So unfortunately, you are wrong. Yeah, it was a video montage. They were all Xbox original games, not Xbox 360 games, because it was the Microsoft E3 event. Little trickery there on my part.
Okay, man.
Yeah. Didn't say I was going to make it easy on you guys.
Oh, dear.
All right. That means, Mike, you are up next.
See if I can get on the board here, Greg. Let's see if I can get on the board.
See if you can get on the board. All right, Mike. Which of these people were not part of the original three Microsoft executives that first took stage at the 2005 E3 event to discuss the next Xbox? Okay. So three people came up on stage to discuss the next Xbox.
Yep.
Was it A, Robbie Bach, B, Peter Moore, or C, Shane Kim, which of those three was not part of the original three that came up on stage?
These fucking questions are well odd.
Yeah, I'd put these beyond trivia and into nobody fucking gives a shit.
Definitely. Shane Kim, I will say.
Well done, Mike. Yes, Jay Allard, Robbie Bach, and Peter Moore took the stage all together to start off the event. No Shane Kim. He came along later on in the Xbox evolution, if you will. All right. So that means, Chris, you are up next. You've got, jeez Louise, this is getting nail biting
stuff.
No.
We're all going to fall out of it, Les.
Potentially. All right.
Just Greg.
Yeah.
Cause I know where he lives.
Shit. All right, Chris. In the E3 2005 event, Robbie Bach announced on stage that they were proud to announce that the next month Xbox Live would reach a level of how many gamers? A, 1 million, B, 2 million, or C, 3 million?
One, two, or three? Two million.
Indeed, Robbie Bach said on stage, at the end of next month, 2 million subscribers will be on live with
Yay.
Xbox Live. So well done, Mr. Matthew. Rich, you are getting the last question, and it means you potentially can tie.
Hmm.
All right, are you ready?
That's killing me.
You ready? I know. All right.
If it's anything to do with Robbie Bach and back in the 2000s, then I'm out of here. Go on then. Let's do this.
Rich, what was the first Xbox 360 game announced at the E3 event in 2005? Was it A, Dead or Alive 4, B, Cameo, or C, Lost Odyssey?
Well, it's not Lost Odyssey. That was PlayStation.
Right. I'll help you out here, Rich. It's not Lost Odyssey.
What was it?
No, Lost Odyssey isn't PlayStation.
Right?
No, but that came out like 2007, so nothing to that.
And what year was this?
2005.
So they were doing Xbox and thingy. See, this is how out of touch I was because I wasn't playing games then. Can I have the other two games?
Absolutely. So is it A, Dead or Alive 4, B, Cameo, or C, Lost Odyssey? All three were announced at this event. I will tell you that right now.
I've heard of that Cameo thing.
Cameo.
Jobby. Well, it's just the way Greg's announcing it. I want to say that.
It was pronounced Cameo.
Yeah, Cameo.
So Dead or Alive 4 was the first 360 game announced at E3. Cameo was shown off second, and Lost Odyssey was the third game shown and announced at the E3 event. So I am sorry, which means, Chris, I believe you squeaked out a win.
Yay.
I say squeaked out in the most slimmest of ways. But you get a bonus question, Yay. Mr. Matthew. Yes. So here you go, Mr. Matthew. Who was the celebrity host for the 2005 MTV Xbox
Reviews? 7 years ago.
I actually know this one. It was Elijah Wood.
Nicely done. Yes, Elijah Wood. Okay. So your choices were either Jack Black, Elijah Wood, or Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Didn't need him.
Freaking Frodo. What's up, Frodo?
Didn't need him. Look at that. Boom. So that, of course, means...
I just have to say on behalf of the listeners, Greg, that was horrible.
Hey, that was trivia.
No, that's
that was trivia.
No, like that was beyond Genius Edition Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, I gave you three choices.
No, I mean I wasn't asking that question. I'm just saying in general. In general, Greg, reject your trivia.
Well, in general, I reject your rejection because you won 200 points for PG Tip 77.
BG Tip 77, I still say that was ridiculous.
You right. would.
I hope the listeners at home had fun because Mike, Rich, and I did not.
Did not. All right. Let's just shuttle right along. No show break. Let's just keep going, guys.
I'm mentally drained. What are you? I'm
going strong. Break. You are ready for it, man. You are ready for it.
I need to go
it.
Get some popcorn or something.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll let Chris refuel with some popcorn. When we come back, we got a question of the week, which is we're lazy ass people. We asked you to ask us questions, and we've got a few.
Oh, really?
We did. There was a few on
Chris
Twitter.
Chris asked
and a
questions
few
about nothing to do with games as well, didn't you say?
There are some questions that have nothing to do with games.
Yes.
Yeah. People listen to this.
People
will be right
listen.
All right, we are back from the break, and we're talking questions that you asked us.
Liar, we're talking food.
Yeah, we got some good ones, too.
No, we were talking food. That may be in the outtakes, people.
I'll say so. That's about 3 hours worth.
Don't
pretty
tease
much.
Break. Don't tease the people.
Okay. But yeah, so we asked the listeners, give us your questions, and we had quite a few responses. So we had some on the Gate forums. Which, Mr. Matthew, I will entrust you to pull up.
All right, I got it.
And Rich, I know we had a bunch of tweets with some questions. I know I pulled some of them, but apparently I may not have pulled all of them.
Oh,
so,
no, not again.
About your expertise. Well, apparently there's a debate question between Teflon 12 and Teflon 212.
No.
Mr. Matthew was mentioning
a brief
this.
Exchange that we had today. We'll talk about that later in the shout-outs or something.
Okay, fair enough. Then, yes, Rich, you should have all the questions right there.
Okay.
Let's start off with Gate. Mr. Matthew, throw us some user or listener questions.
Okay. So this should be fun. First one is Denver J. He says, regarding music, very game show hostish of him, what is your guilty pleasure? Do you have a tune you only listen to in the car, the tube, the tank, which I believe in America would translate into the car, the subway, or the toilet? Do you ever sing along to ABBA? And what is your dark musical secret? Greg.
All right, well, I'm going to tackle ABBA first, which is if you hear an ABBA song, you cannot help but sing along.
Agreed.
My dark musical secret is probably the same as the tunes I listen to only in the car because my wife cannot stand the metal music that I listen to. So I love Godsmack. Probably one of my favorites. Linkin Park has always been a longtime favorite group of mine. And so I listen to them a lot when I work out. And I'll listen to them on the way to the gym, although podcasts seem to have creeped in and taken that part over. But yeah, that is my dark musical secret as well. Marilyn Manson, probably one of my favorites, which I do not let my wife listen to because she probably would think very lowly
very
of
poorly
me.
Poorly of you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Actually, podcasts are kind of my... I don't know if it's guilty pleasure, but I love to listen to podcasts while I'm at the gym because I've got my earphones on and I listen to the podcast and it's almost like I'm getting away with something. You know, here I am amongst all these meatheads listening to my nerdy podcast.
Yeah, I think I do that mostly when I'm doing my cardio.
Oh, I listen to it mostly when I'm lifting weights.
Yeah, when I'm lifting weights, I need the angry music.
Oh, well, that's the veteran gamers.
There you go.
we're having fun.
All right, we've. What about the British people?
I don't know, really. I don't know. I mostly listen to podcasts. I listen to a lot of soundtracks as well. So, I'm trying to think.
Like movie soundtracks?
Sometimes, yeah. I listen to the Tron soundtrack because it was all done by Daft Punk.
Okay.
Made
it Titanic on your MP3 player.
Hey?
Titanic?
No. What else do I listen to? Zach Dempsey. He's another one that probably people don't know who he is. But Zach Dempsey is most famous for the Inception song. You know, the... Dun, 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 blah, that one, he did that, but he's got like a whole album out and stuff, and he does loads of different things. Trying to think. But I mostly listen to podcasts, though. Like, when I'm, if I'm listening to things, I'm listening to podcasts. So, yeah. Don't really have much of an answer, I'm afraid. That's me. Oh, yeah. Western, like Eric, what's his name?
Morricone.
There you go. I listen to that kind of stuff as well. Because, you know, it's good. That's it.
Rich?
Me? I would go, well, everybody knows, like, a bit of dance stuff. And, like Greg, my wife hates dance stuff. So, I always play that in the car, normally. If I was going to say guilty pleasure, at work we have Spotify on. So, we've got, like, a master playlist. And half the studio plays the radio. And then the other half of the studio plays Spotify. And it's five people basically just dropping in what they want. And it can range from anything from 60s up to like drum and bass and dubstep and whatever. But somebody, you know how you get text bombing or whatever? Somebody at work did a Spotify bomb the other week. And basically what they did was they got as many cheesy TV theme tunes and dropped them in our master playlist. So every now and again now, you get like old TV themes coming on, and we all just stop work and look at each other and go, you got it yet? What is it? I know this one, don't I? I know this one. And there's only one person that will know it, because it's like a community Spotify, but only one person can see what's playing. So there's that. But guilty pleasures, really guilty ones, some that people wouldn't take me for listening to. I absolutely love Brandy Carlile. Anybody heard of Brandy Carlile?
No.
Oh, well, she's an excellent female vocalist from America, and I love her stuff. Brilliant.
There you go. Sweet.
Just to kind of wrap it up, my music guilty pleasure is Broadway. I like to listen to Broadway shows, cast recordings. That's mine. Right? Dana says, if you could step into the machine from The Fly, what creature would you be happy to be accidentally genetically spliced with?
Sorry.
Let's start with Rich this time.
What would I like to be spliced with? I'd like to be spliced with a horse. So I came out like a human Sagittarius or human horsey Sagittarius.
Hey, there's a word for that.
Licensed to shit in the street, as Billy Connolly would say.
That's not bad.
That is something he'd say.
The human horse is known as the centaur, generally.
Centaur.
Yeah, I'll be one of them.
That's a good one.
That is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Greg, let's see if you can do one better.
Man, that is tough. You know, I mean, I think, you know, immediately, like, especially after hearing Primrose talking about the centaur, it's like, I started thinking like mythological creatures, and that's It is tough. The centaur is good. About the only thing I could think of that might be a potentially better option, only for the sake of you would have just the two legs versus the four, would be. Now I can't think of the name of the mythological creature. Is the pike player? The pipe player?
That's a goat, isn't it? It's
like half goat. Yeah, it was half goat, half man.
Mm, yeah, the satyr, right?
Satyr. There you go. And I only say that just because I'm assuming that he has above average, you know, agility and speed with the different set of legs. But
well, the backwards knees do aid in jumping.
Yes. Yeah, and you can still retain your kind of overall human form. Although,
and if you get tired, Greg, you can have a drink out of your udders.
True. Very true.
Gross.
Now, if I could cross between like an eagle, like a giant eagle, Animan, or maybe like a California Condor, something really big where I could literally have wings on my back and fly, maybe like bird-like eyes, skip the beak and the
feathers. Yeah, I suppose that's a good one.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
All right.
Do something different. So,
all right. I'll
Birdman.
You're changing your mind from the satyr to the Birdman.
Yeah, I'm going Birdman.
Right, Birdman it is. Mike, you want to go? Or you want me to go?
Carry on, mate.
I would genetically splice myself with a pig, provided that I could have a regenerating belly, because then wherever I was in the world, I could just cut off a bit of my belly and make some bacon out of it. And I'd be happy.
You'd be a cannibal.
No, man. I'd just be happy.
Eating yourself.
I would be eating lots and lots of fresh bacon.
And
very fresh bacon.
And you would have a pig nose.
No. I didn't say a pig nose. I don't care. If I can eat all that bacon.
That goes with the territory.
That's fine. That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
All right. Who hasn't got it, Mike?
Just a mic.
Koala bear.
Koala bear.
A koala bear, which is not a bear, actually.
No.
So a koala. Is it because of the pouch? What?
No,
that's a kangaroo, mate.
A koala also has a koala is a marsupial, no?
Yeah, they all have pouches. Yeah.
Take that one, Mike Chin. Bam.
Well,
I believe that Mike wishes to be a koala because he gets to munch on all that delicious eucalyptus.
Does that?
Yes.
Does that? That's definitely a bonus.
You want the fuzzy ears?
Yeah, I just think they kind of look. What they get up to is pretty much what I would like to get up to most of the time, which is sleep and hug. Look
like
you know.
I like it.
You want to hug it. When you see a koala bear, you want to hug it.
Now, the downside, Mike, is they are really slow moving.
Yeah,
they're not the most nimble.
No, that's perfect. Perfect stuff.
Okay.
That's fine. Don't mind that.
So Mike will be the first one dead.
Yeah.
No, he just gets up at the top of the trees, man. Zombies can't climb.
Is this during a zombie attack?
No, I just figured.
Yeah.
I
figured he'd be crossing the street and he just wouldn't get out of the way
of
the car.
While we're crossing genres, we may as well cross genres or whatever. Nah, anyway, koala bear. Marcanix asks, of the other three hosts of the podcast, which would you marry, shag, kill?
I'm going to go first
and say if I were left with the options to marry, shag, or kill the three of you, I would take whatever implement I had been provided with to kill one of you, and I would off myself, and that would be the end of it.
Well, that's a Greg. Cheap way out of that question. Total cheap way out of that question.
It is indeed. Deal.
All right. So I'll start with Shag. Oh yeah, I've totally approached this. Mike, you totally would be the one I would shag.
All right.
You're the pretty boy.
Yep. Thanks. Good stuff.
I think Chris, you are the marrying guy. You've got the stability behind you.
Right.
Yes. That. And I know for a fact you'd be able to have my back in a bar fight. Now, Primrose, it saddens me to say I would have to kill you.
But just by default.
It is by default. You would be a fantastic drinking buddy, though. I have to admit, I think that really is where your strength would come in our relationship. But that probably would also be where I would end up killing you, because we would get in a drunken fight and I would stab you with a broken bottle.
Oh, fair dues.
Okay.
So that brings us to, I guess we'll go to Rich since he just got stabbed with a broken bottle.
Okay. I'd shag Chris, but look at Greg while I'm doing it.
Oh, man, this is too weird.
I'm no longer comfortable with this line of conversation.
I'd kill Mike, but in a nice way. I'd
kill you in a nice way.
I'd do it with sleeping tablets or something.
Killing him softly.
I'd read him a bedtime story as well.
That'd be great.
And I'd marry Greg because he says he fucking he'd have to kill me. He told me that at the pub because I'm only good to go out and get pissed with. So he told me that at the pub. So I thought, right, you bastard, I'm going to put you through a life of fucking torment by marrying you. There you go. That's mine.
That's marriage. All right.
All right.
Mike, you ready?
I would have relationships with Greg. Like just kind of one off because, you know, he's like got muscles and stuff. He looks after himself. I'd kill Primrose because he killed me. don't know. And I would marry Chris because, you know, he can cook and he looks like he would protect me.
So I suppose I have to provide a legitimate answer. So I'll go around. I would kill Rich to make it 4-for-4 or 3-for-3 or whatever. I think all of us said we would kill Rich. I think that I would marry Mike because I need someone in my life that can edit videos. And I would shag Greg because
that's what saved my life was like,
yeah, you know. I would have to shag Greg because I've already fucked him over several times in XCOM. So.
Oh, well played, well played.
All right, now that we've got that awkwardness out of the way, let's try to rebound here. Steve O'Matic would like to know, why are you so awesome, Michael?
Sorry, what?
Why are you so awesome?
Is that me?
That's the question, Mike. Why are you so awesome?
Do we all have to answer it?
Apparently.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't know that I was. But thank you very much. Maybe it's to do with that I've been blessed with greatness. I don't know what to say. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I have no idea what to say. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm awesome at all. Hello? Is this on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris, should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Thank God for that.
Rich?
Well, we're doing tweets.
No, no. Why are you awesome, Rich?
Why am I awesome? I'm
why
not.
Why are you? Okay. I like it.
I'm dead. That's all I am.
Yeah, three times.
Fair enough. I am awesome because although I can't remember the name of the guy from GTA 4 who wanted everybody to be genetically superior, I hung out with that dude and he helped me out. So genetics. Greg,
Bruce,
what's your excuse?
Bruce.
Brucey, baby. That's Brucey, right.
Brucey, yeah.
Thank you, Mike, for saving me.
This is the one time I...
Because you are awesome.
This is the one time I wish I had the sound effect ready to go. I will respond to Steve-O-Matic with why I'm awesome, because I'm America. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
You should get sound effects song on this show.
I know.
Yeah.
That's like that could be our USP if we had sound effects. I don't think there's other podcasts that do that. So.
No one does that.
No one does that.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see. We wrap it up. Teflon 12. Well, we're wrapping up the gaming for the elderly responses anyway. Teflon 12 says, what genres of the following are your favorite? Movies. We'll just go around the room. I'll start. Science fiction. Rich.
I like science fiction.
Mike.
Is it psychological thriller a genre? Was that?
Absolutely.
Sweet. Yes. That'll do.
Greg.
As much as I like sci-fi movies, I think I am more often than not let down by those. So I'm going to say action drama.
You say rom-coms? I got it. Greg likes rom-coms. Moving on. Favorite genre of music? I prefer 70s stadium rock. Sort of that era classic music between classic rock and hair bands, but the 70s stadium rock.
That's pretty good.
Greg.
Yeah, I can't argue with that choice, Mr. Matthew. That is a damn good choice.
I almost said the era in music between the 60s and the 80s, but that was kind of like, well, no shit.
Yeah, kind of big. I'll go with the big hair band rock. You know, the Def Leppards, the Motley Crues.
All right. Richard?
Not much of a surprise. Dance music, anything that's intelligent, not cheesy, but good. Ed Dan, nice dance music.
Footloose?
Yeah, bit of Footloose, yeah. Bit of Grease, you know.
Ah.
Shwaddy Waddy. Out like that.
Use lightning burning up the quarter of my... I do like, I told you I like show tunes. Mike, did you have a chance to respond yet?
No. To be honest, it's probably hip hop.
Hippity hoppity.
Hippity hop, loss. You know.
Hop, the hippity hop.
I was thinking about that. I was like, what genre do I like the most? But it's usually hip hop that I like the most, so. Boom.
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 Favorite games genre, Mike.
Oh, shit. This is an odd one. Sorry. I don't know. Look, third person kind of like adventure action-y types of like Tomb Raider, Uncharted. Oh, no, open worlds. Like, maybe open worlds. Sorry, yeah, open worlds. I'll change it to open worlds.
All right.
GTA-style open world.
GTA, Red Dead Redemption.
Sandbox.
Okay.
Sandbox.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. Greg.
Third-person shooter, like Uncharted, Tomb Raider, where Mike was originally going to go, but I don't need it to be open world. I prefer a third-person shooter over a first-person.
All right. I'm going to go with third-person action RPG, which is why I always play Skyrim in a third-person point of view. You know, your Fables and your various other hackers and slashers.
Okay.
Rich.
God.
I don't, dance games.
Mine's not by the what type of game it is. It's if it's got a deep story and someone that's got someone that makes you go fucking hell, that was brilliant. That's me. So it could be a puzzle game like Portal 2 that's got a brilliant story, and at the end you're going, wow, that's brilliant. Or it could be something like Bioshock Infinite. That's why I'll always defend Bioshock.
So Infinite. Would it be safe to say, Rich, your genre is games that make you go, hmm?
Yeah.
Games that make
them.
You go, hmm.
Them.
Games
yeah.
that make you go, hmm, hmm, hmm. Excellent. TV shows. Who hasn't had a chance to start yet? Rich, you're up.
Hmm. This year,
Genre, mind you.
I like anything that's... I like a good US drama, I've got to admit. But I think the UK is catching up big time. Utopia.
With what? Utopia. Oh, yeah. Utopia was good.
Yeah. Excellent. So, yeah, there's been a few good things on Channel 4 this year that I've really enjoyed. Yeah, but US dramas normally. Breaking Bad and stuff.
I think I'm pretty partial to the TV cop drama. Okay. So the Southlands, the
Justified.
Yeah, love those.
Justified does look interesting. I haven't started that one yet. Mike?
Well, what genre is Breaking Bad?
Twisted.
Yeah, maybe suspense.
Anti-hero.
Yeah. There you go. Anti-hero.
Yeah, that'll do.
Oh, wait, not Breaking Bad. Never mind, sorry. I thought you were... never mind. I'm just going to shut up. My favorite genre is... sci-fi mystery, so your Fringe and your X-Files and those kind of shows.
I like the new J.J. Abrams film that's coming out. The new J.J. Abrams.
No, what is it?
They've got it's a copper that a police officer in the future, and they all have to have synthetic partners, like androids. Looks a bit Blade Runner-ish type thing.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, they saw it. It's part of the... You know how they've got all the pilots at your end coming out? I saw it on Zite this morning. They were showing you all the trailers for the pilots that were up. So,
good.
Can I just break in real quickly? I've been sitting here staring at the forum responses, and I cannot help but keep fixating on Steve O'Matic's GIF file of the kid lighting his penis on fire.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll just sit there and watch that for days.
It's amazing. Look, what was he thinking doing that?
Is that lighter fluid he's pouring
right
now?
He pulls it on his crotch and then he lights it on fire.
He's thinking, how can I get
else,
on YouTube?
Somebody else just stamped it out on his crotch And look, he looks like he's shocked, but like, what do you expect?
I know.
Why are my friends all stepping on my junk? Yeah, it is terrible. Thank you, Steve-O. If you haven't seen it, everyone needs to go to the forum and check out Steve-O's signature.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all the forum questions. I think now we're off to Twitters.
Twitters.
Pete Red Dog, he put, gaming, is it all getting a bit complicated?
Yep.
It used to be stick caught in SES, SNES, and turn on the SNES. So what do you guys think? Is it all getting a bit complicated?
I think if he's talking about using the console, no. Because if you stick the DVD in the Xbox 360 and turn it on, there it goes. So I think the answer is no. It doesn't require you. So I remember my old NES from way back in the day. You would have to blow in it to get the dust out, right? And the little connectors between the RAM board in the cartridge and the bus on the system board were wearing out. So we would have to slide the cartridge in like so you could just barely get it down into the thing, you know, like the top of the cartridge is scraping against the front of the machine to get a piece of the connector that hadn't been worn out yet. So I think it's actually less complicated in that regard.
I mean, I get where he's coming from. You know, when you think about patches and updates to the systems and having to have those in place before you can play the game often. So, I mean, you know, I guess I get that, but I think it's, I don't know, it's a double-edged sword because in one respect, I think the developers get a little lazy because they know they can patch games post-release, whereas before, back in the days of the SNES, they really did try and put out as complete a product as possible, you know, as glitch-free as possible. But I don't know. I don't think it's getting too complicated. As long as the systems we have in place make updating and patching fairly seamless, then, you know, I don't see that as being an issue. You know, if it happens behind the scenes or is it just a simple button click for me, then I'm good with it. But if I have to go hunt out drivers, if I have to go hunt out patches.
Yeah, but you don't have to
make
do
the game work.
Like,
I know. That's what I'm saying is that for the most part, it's all automated now. So I really don't see it being a complicated process anymore.
Even PC gaming has gotten much simpler with the advent of Steam and automatically updating drivers and all that good stuff.
Right.
Mike,
who else hasn't answered?
I haven't. Have you, Mike?
No.
No. Right. I'm only gonna answer this with like a little story, which I may have said on a different podcast, but it is getting more complicated. But I'll add on the end of that, only for us because we're getting older. The other week, I was sat and watched a fascinating scenario in my room unfold, where basically the kids were on the Xbox, watching something on television. And then an argument broke out because somebody was blocking the TV and so on. And my oldest daughter was the one that was wanting to watch the TV. And then just watching what they did just made me realize that we're out of date now and they're the ones that are in it because the Kinect, for all its faults and everything, they now just see it as being intuitive that they can just go Xbox pause and then sort out the argument. And then carry on. And they do not blink their eyes at doing it. And they do it all the time. Somebody, if the phone rings, it will be pause the game while they're right in the middle of a song on Dance Central. And they'll just run up. And it's just instinct for them. And they've grasped it, and I haven't. And that's why I know that all of this stuff that they're doing for these new Xboxes, they're perfectly right in doing it. Because they know that the younger generation are just going to latch onto it. And they will use it. We will stay stuck in our ways, but they know that other people will move on. So,
right.
So yeah, that's it is getting more complicated, but only for us.
Okay.
Anything to add, Mike?
Yeah, I think it is a case of because we know what it used to be like before, so we remember certain things before. But yeah, kids adapt so quickly, and I think the kind of key of growing up and as you get on everybody, I'm the youngest here, I'm aware of this, but growing up and getting you is just to embrace it and that kind of keeps you young in a way, where rather than saying that it's all rubbish and it's all bad, just try and just accept it, because the kids, they don't think about it, man. They just do it. So, yeah, I think it's just changing, and it's always changing. It has got a little bit more complicated, but just embrace it, man. What can you do?
Okay.
What are you doing? Then Gangu Crimes sent in to the Americans. Have you ever had British bacon? It's so much better than American bacon.
So we actually had an exchange about this, Rich. So I say yes, I have had British bacon, which we in America call back bacon. And you would refer to it as rashers, and what we think of as American bacon, you would refer to as the streaky. And I submit to you that the streaky is better than the rashers.
Right. Now, when you said that, I did disagree, because I don't see British bacon as being back bacon. We can get just as much streaky bacon as you can get back bacon in England.
That is,
and it is considered to be the norm to just take your pick at what you want. So,
well, then if your streaky bacon is like our streaky bacon, then really it's the same bacon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. But here's my point, Greg.
Right.
Bacon in America, if I say bacon to you, what do you think of?
I think of bacon like bacon and eggs.
And what's the bacon look like? Describe it to me.
Well, it's got a amount of lard to it. It's got a fair amount of meat to it. You have options. You can go with something that's less fatty and more meaty, and you can go with something that has, you know, a thinner cut versus a thicker cut.
And what part of the pig does this come from, Greg?
I believe it's the belly.
Okay, and it generally has the appearance of stripes, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
kind of like zebra stripes.
So generally, the streaky, mm-hmm. which comes from the belly of the pig, which is available in the UK, is what we Americans consider to be bacon. Mm-hmm. So the reason I said that the rashers were the British bacon is because the American bacon is the streaky.
Yeah, I would submit extra thick smoked bacon is the best bacon.
I concur.
Yeah, but Mark Davis as well added the fact that you can get middle and. What was the other one? I can't remember the other one.
Well, you can make, yeah, there's the bacon in the most general definition is simply cured pork meat. You can make it from the shoulder. We have a bacon that I've made called buckboard bacon, which comes from the shoulder of the pig. And it's actually pretty delicious too. Not quite as delicious as a nice thick cut, center cut belly bacon. But it's I think the difference in the bacon might actually be the way we cure it. We tend to cure ours more with the pink curing salt and maybe some sugars. I don't know how that differs from the way you would cure it.
Can you tell we just stepped right into the wheelhouse of Christopher Matthew?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is definitely his area.
This is my speciality, you might
it's
say.
Your jam.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So. Bottom line, I disconcur. I believe that belly bacon is better than back bacon.
I would say I've had bacon in America, which wasn't belly bacon, incidentally. Hmm. And I would consider it to be of just the same sort of quality as what you would get in England. So.
Yeah, I've tried back bacon before. I know that. I can honestly say I don't recall it standing out being like, oh my God, this was so great. I'm not saying it was bad. That's just... didn't leave a lasting impression.
You don't say that, Greg.
Anything to add on the bacon discussion, Mike?
Not really.
Other than I'm hungry.
No, I like bacon. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of his work. But you know, I don't get into it that deep, to be honest. I just kind of eat it, and yeah, that's bacon to me. So I'm not
this
really.
Was...
This is a bit of a swear word for you, Chris. But I'm not really like a massive like food guy. I'll
that's
just
all right.
kind of
not you know, everybody is.
You know, some people just like love food and they just gotta talk about it and cook about it. I'll just kind of get on with it and just you know,
yeah,
fine.
That's all right.
If anybody
I don't judge.
Anybody that's just tuned in, this isn't the Giant Bombcast.
We're doing our best impression.
We're doing our best impression of the Giant Bombcast.
All right, let's move on. Next question.
Right, next one is, do you think Microsoft can hold on to their core fan base? Most of my Xbox Live mates are jumping ship to Sony. And
this is from Step J,
That's
right?
From Step J, yeah.
Okay. Who wants to tackle this first? Mike, why don't you go first? You haven't talked to
Sorry, repeat it. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. Hello.
Damn it, Mike. Damn it.
My name is Mike.
Do you think Microsoft can hold on to their console core fan base?
Right.
Most of my Xbox Live mates are jumping ship to Sony.
Right. With all due respect, most of your mates do not reflect millions of people. I think they can hold on because I don't think Microsoft are going to give up the goat that easily. They are a very
ghost,
clever...
Or Mike, ghost.
Give whatever, ghosts, goats, they're all the same. Chicks without dicks.
Two very different euphemisms there.
Chicks with dicks, chicks without dicks, all
the
same.
I just
right.
said very, by the way, for those of you keeping score.
Yep. right, I forgot what I was talking about. What were we talking about?
Microsoft.
So, you know, they're a clever company. They know what they're doing. And, yeah, I mean, I think they will lose some, but I think PlayStation could lose some as well. So, I just can't see Microsoft... They'll do things that will upset, like, cool gamers, but they'll do a lot of things that will bring them back as well. And from the sounds of it, Call of Duty being at the launch event, looking pretty good for Microsoft at the moment. Not that, you know, PlayStation are out of it or anything like that. There'll always be competition. Right. I'm just saying that Microsoft are smart and they do not let it go easily. So, yeah. So, really. So, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to lose a lot.
I tend to agree with you, Mike. I think gamers are a fickle bunch and they'll go back and forth to whatever console has what they want. I remember when the Microsoft Xbox 360 launched, I wasn't going to get one because I'd had a PlayStation 1 and a PlayStation 2. I was like, I'm going to hold out for PlayStation 3. And then it didn't come, and it didn't come, and it didn't come. And finally, I was just like, you know, all right, fine. I'll go get an Xbox 360. And then I kind of became an Xbox 360 fanboy for a while. Now I'm a PC fanboy. So I think gamers are a fickle bunch, and no one's really going to lose out.
They're not loyal at all.
Yeah.
Do you think a big part of it's going to be to do with maintaining your gamer score? Or at least having some semblance or trace of it when you move over.
I think
over.
That translates over to the PlayStation as well. You know, some people are really attached to their trophies.
Right.
And some people aren't. And some people give up, though. Like, Chris was attached to his achievements, but they give them up. You know, they'll move. So I don't think... I mean, it's nice, and like we all kind of like having achievements and stuff, but some of us are more bothered than others about them. And I think that affects both platforms, to be honest. Some people are obsessed with trophies just as they are with achievements. And there's some people that would just easily move over to another. Because when I play the PlayStation, I care about trophies. You know, I like to get them. But I don't have that many. I just like achieving something. So, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, from where I'm sitting, I think it's a bit of a kind of premature question, Step J, like, a week premature in that it's hard to know if they're really going to be able to hold on to their core fan base without knowing what they're really doing. Yeah. We've had lots of rumor and speculation. So until we know for sure what they're doing, it's kind of hard.
It'll be hard when we know what they're doing as well. Like, you know, just look, people thought that the Wii U might take off and it did.
And here's the thing I was going to say, Mike, is that the other part of this is what is their core fan base? You know, I think what he's trying to infer is maybe a hardcore fan base, but I would argue that maybe the core fan base of the Xbox 360 is a much more casual gamer and not such a hardcore gamer. So if the core of the fan base really is more on the casual side and looking for features and more TV applications, that kind of thing, I absolutely think, based on the rumors that I know, they can hold on to their base. Mm. But... You know, it all really hinges upon what we find out next week.
When I look at the evidence, Microsoft have made smarter choices in marketing than Sony have, right? But Sony still have this cool thing about them. People still like them. So, I don't know. I just think that Microsoft won't let it go so easily. Karen, pretty much.
Yeah, I've just got one thing preempting next week. If there is a massive chunk of that presentation that does involve the TV side of stuff, and they start rolling out ESPN, various cable providers, and it all does start to appear to be a bit US-centric, then I've already seen the shitty end of the stick as far as apps are concerned and so on with the 360. And I've got to say, it's going to put me off big time. If a lot of that presentation next week all revolves around the entertainment industry, and I know they'll just be rolling out the names of the service providers you guys see in America, but if that's what I start seeing next week, like as a large majority of that presentation, then I think I'll be keeping my ear to the ground with what Sony are doing than what I am Xbox. And as I've said before, I've got no qualms about switching over to a PC either. So that's going to be a key thing for me next week, when me and Greg are having some banter live.
Yeah, I do find it interesting that they, you know, they definitely went out of their way to hold this press conference at a time that pretty much everybody can watch in the UK as well. Yeah. I mean, you know, they didn't do this, you know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon US time, which pretty much puts it, you know, way late at night for you guys.
Yeah.
So I think they're at least making an effort to make sure that Europe is watching. But yeah, Rich, I can totally understand that. If you're seeing something that just isn't centric to you and your use, yeah, that would put me off too. So, but yeah, I really think this question would be much easier to tackle next week as opposed to this week.
And we will return to it. Definitely.
Absolutely. We'll be discussing it for sure.
Yeah, so the next one was from Mr. Killer Cranky. Apologies, Brian, for letting you down in the quiz. What's the first computer game platform format that you ever played? And was it yours or a mate's or a relative's? So, Chris.
I think the first one I ever played on, I'm gonna do a quick, just to check release dates so I can verify my story. Let's see, ColecoVision 1982. Intellivision. I believe it was Intellivision. It was either Intellivision or ColecoVision. One or the other. It was my stepdad's. He was into gaming. Looks like the Intellivision came first, so I'm going to say the first one I ever played was the Intellivision. You remember that one with the gamepad that looked like a phone? It had like it had like the circle thing and the number pad.
Yeah, you just turned it like a knob.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It wasn't even a knob. It was almost like the touch wheel on an old school iPod. Right?
Yeah, or was it like a dimmer switch type knob?
No.
What was that then?
I don't know. But the Intellivision, you just put your thumb on it, and there were some really clever games. Each game came with a little plastic insert that you would slide over the number pads that had symbols to tell you what the different numbers would do.
Yeah,
those are good games. Intellivision's a pretty cool company. They're still kind of hanging on there. They've got like some, you know, plug it directly into your TV. Emulators, not the right word, but all the games are stored in the internal RAM of the device. And you can also download some of their games right off of their website to play on your PC and things like that. So I had a lot of fun with the Intellivision, back in the day. Yeah.
And where was the, that was your stepdad. Okay. Greg.
Amazingly enough, it was Home Pong. The original Atari Home Pong console. Yeah, my dad picked one up, brought it home, and we played Pong. We fought over playing Pong. My sisters and I and my dad would just sit there and have tournaments. And I broke my toe over playing Pong.
Nice.
Yeah. It got violent.
Yeah. Kick somebody in.
So, yeah, that was me.
All right. The first one I remember is the Amstrad. Oh, I played that. I remember having it. The first
that
console.
That one with tape deck on the side.
Yeah, yep. That's the one. waiting for like 15 minutes for the game to load, then it would crash in like 2 minutes in. Fun times. The first console, I remember this guy. That Amstrad was for me and my brother, really. My dad bought it for me and my brother. One of my brother's friends used to bring around his Nintendo. We used to play Turtles, this volleyball game, and Mario. And I was too young to kind of like say, can I have a go? So they just used to make me watch, and then I'd sneak a quick 5 minute go when they wasn't looking. Yep.
Me. Mine was next door neighbor got a Atari. Is it the 2600, the one that looked like mahogany type wood?
Right.
Yeah.
Atari 2600.
Yeah, he got one of them. And we used to go around, and like, I can always remember the game we used to enjoy the most, and it was multiplayer, was the tank, is it Tank Man or Tank Battle? The one where you're in the maze and you've got to shoot, your bullets.
I think it was just called
fire.
Tanks, wasn't it?
Yeah, the one that where you shoot.
Oh, combat.
Tank combat, something like that, yeah.
No, it was combat. It was combat because they had the tanks, they had the planes.
That was it.
It was all in one cartridge.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right. And it had different games. But the game that we all played the most was Home of the Tanks, where you fire your bullets and they bounce off the wall and go around. But you could have it set so that it didn't bounce off the walls as well. So played that one to death. And then,
did you ever play boxing on the Atari 2600?
No.
It's like a top-down view of like two stick figures. So all you saw was a round head.
No.
Two sticks coming off each side to be the arms, and then they had two little round balls on the end of the arms that would go forward as like a punch.
No, never played that one.
Nice. It was the worst boxing game in the world.
I can remember this seemed revolutionary at the time when he got pole position.
Oh.
And the graphics just seemed so much better, even though they weren't.
Yeah, that was like Pitfall. Pitfall was revolutionary.
Pitfall, yeah.
Pitfall was a big, yeah, big time.
Yeah, yeah, Pitfall as well.
Did you play E.T. on your 2600?
No.
I did. I played E.T. That was the worst game ever.
There's a landfill somewhere full of 2600 or E.T. cartridges, right?
As it should be.
Many people blame E.T. for the video game crash of 1983.
Yep, it's true.
So, yeah, anyway, that Atari thing, that just led to me. I just saved up for my birthday, and I bought a ZX81 for, I believe it was about £23 from Boots.
The ZX, was that the Saturn? Sega Saturn?
No, this was a personal computer. So it was Clive Sinclair brought it out in the UK. And you basically bought a RAM pack for it. So it only came with 1K built in, but you could buy a 16K RAM pack that you stuck in the back of it, and then you plug that into your TV, and then you basically program your own games, or you could buy you could hook up a cassette player and load your games in through a cassette player. So yeah, that was how I started off, and just sit there for hours programming in my own games. Out of magazines that you bought, or you'd be around there with your mate, and they'd be reading that, and you'd be typing them in. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Good times.
All right, I believe that's it for Twits.
Yeah.
Twits on Tweets.
Yeah, that's it.
Mike, if you would be so kind, I'm going to have you read the email from Mr. Parsnip Nose.
Okie doke.
I know you were totally ready for that.
Oh, yeah, I was so ready for that. Thanks for that, Greg.
Here for you.
Right, the email from Parsnip Nose. I was on the show notes.
Yeah.
And then they disappeared.
And then they're there again. I hear you scrolling feverishly.
Yeah. Weird. Oh, there you go. There it is. Emails. Sweet. I was just listening to show 218 and noted your comment regarding commercials having to declare whether or not footage shown is in-game or CGI. This made me wonder if this is the reason we've seen blurring of the lines between the game and the cutscene. For example, Max Payne and Ghost Recon Future Soldier. There seems to be a lot of mini cutscenes where you lose control of the characters for a few seconds while he breaches a door or moves cover to cover. I wonder if this is somehow gets around the rule. Can this be considered in-game? It would be interesting to play one of these games and compare it to the commercial and figure out whether or not you're actually in control of the character.
Right.
So what do we think
I would like to say that as long as what you're seeing on the screen is being generated in real time, whether that requires controller input from you or not, that can be considered in-game.
In-engine. Right. Yeah, like the engine that you play as when you move the character around. Yeah.
Yeah, like Halo 3 cutscenes were all done in engine.
Halo 4 cutscenes weren't.
Some of them.
Yeah, some of them weren't. Some of them were.
Very beginning ones were CGI, but some of the other ones were in engine.
So if they showed that on the advert, like this is how it looks, that would have been full.
Right.
Right. I mean, I think one of the there's a couple reasons for why we see all these little mini cutscenes. I mean, one, I think often they're now being used to hide loading screens. We saw that with Tomb Raider. So they take control away from the character and they kind of have this, the game goes on auto while the game is working in the background to load up more assets. The biggest reason for the shift away from CGI to in-game cutscenes is cost.
Mm-hmm.
CGI is much more expensive than in-game. If you're, creating a cutscene using in-game engine versus shipping it out to a CGI house, it's drastically cheaper. And I think back in the day, with your PlayStation 1 day and even your PlayStation 2, the graphical detail wasn't quite there, so in-game cutscenes still looked pretty janky. And so a lot of companies really wanted to tell their stories using CGI because it looked so much better. I mean, Final Fantasy is a prime example of that. But this day and age, in-game cutscenes are looking really good. So I think companies feel a lot more comfortable being able to use that as a storytelling mechanic. And so we're seeing a lot more of that. And, given the drastic cost differences, it makes sense.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I think they just take control of the play. They can take control away from the player for just a minute to animate something that there's really no way to puppeteer. Some really slick door-breaching action that you wouldn't be able to do with input from the user.
So like a quick time event or just let control be taken over.
I like the way, I think it helps with the transitions as well. I mean, the ones in Max Payne I thought were really good.
Yeah, they're very good.
Really enjoyed Max Payne's. The way it went smoothly from them cutscenes into you playing was brilliant.
I will say, there was that reward though back in the day with the older games where you were playing something that maybe was more on that 16-bit level. It wasn't fantastic, and you knew all the cutscenes were CGI. It's like you couldn't wait to finish the level because you'd get a cool cutscene to watch.
Yeah,
and that is kind of gone these days.
Yeah, that was kind of the reason that I played is maybe I missed the point, but Final Fantasy VII, the thing that kept me playing Final Fantasy VII all the way through the end, and I did think it was a great game. But the thing that kept me going all the way to the end was like, maybe after I do this, I'll get another one of those really awesome looking cutscenes. And I just kind of kept going and going that way.
I used to think the same about, believe it or not, Tomb Raider. I used to kind of work towards the end for cutscenes and stuff. You always get a cutscene at the end of the big level.
Yeah, it was your reward.
Yeah. Looking back now at those cutscenes, which I have done recently, they are awful. They're so bad.
All right. Well, that does it for that question. Thank you very much, Parsnip, for the email.
Thanks
for everybody that sent us tweets and the forum responses. Hopefully we gave you some great answers or at least entertaining answers. The question for next week, we were again asking you to send us a story.
Yes.
But this time we want to hear your funniest multiplayer game story or, funniest multiplayer experience. Let us know.
You got to spin us a yarn. Tell us the tale. Entertain us.
Yeah. probably best done through email or in our forum section for this question. I don't think 140 characters on Twitter is going to be enough.
Or even better, record yourself.
Even better. Even I like better. That. Yeah, send us an MP3. Send it to the OC Podcast email. We'll definitely check that out. It'll be ocpodcast@gmail.com.
That's it. Foreshadowing. Before we move on from the Twitters, there was a rather interesting – well, I thought it was interesting. Maybe I'm alone in this. So I saw a tweet from Skulldugger to the Boss Wave podcast and Teflon212 and said, why are you Teflon212 here and Teflon12 everywhere else? Right? And correct me when I mess this up, Rich. to which Jason responded, I'm Teflon212 on Twitter because the other was already taken. To which I responded, what are the odds of two people on Twitter wanting to be Teflon12? And not being able to let it go at that, I did some research and I found out that as of May 7th, there were 555 million Twitter users.
Fucking
up. Which means Jesus. The odds of two people wanting to be Teflon12 are approximately 1 in 2.2. 5 million. 225 million, excuse me. Because I'm a nerd and I have to figure these type of things out. Anyway, those are the odds. 1 in 225 million.
Don't ever tell me the odds.
Don't ever tell me. And that's exactly what I was thinking at the time. I ran out of characters. I was going to hashtag don't ever tell me the odds, but I ran out of characters.
Okay.
Anyway,
that's
you're yeah. smarter no. than me.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I just do math. I can reduce fractions. It's not. Anyway.
I need a calculator. All right. It's time for our jingle.
Starsky's board. Let's do this.
Friday night, Halo, 8 p.m. British summertime, hosted by Amaranth this week. So thanks for stepping up and get in there and get some ownage.
I could be wrong, but I think Amaranth might be hosting them moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah, so just an FYI.
Well done. Friday night, Forza with Atchison. The Call of Duty Modern Warfare, that was last weekend, sounded like it was a resounding success. Still doing the Forza 4 Movie Car Championship at 9 p.m. British summertime. 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Nope, they've already done that. They're working on...
Already done this?
Yeah, the Sunday. Yeah. Sunday. Marcanix and Parsipnose are working through the Gears of War Judgment campaign, and they're looking for some co-op buddies. So if you haven't done that yet and you want to get some co-op buddies... contact Parsipnose and Marcanix and get in there. The veteran gamers are doing something that Mike can't remember on the Xbox 360.
Yep.
That's on Sunday at 6 p.m. in the British time. And at 9 p.m. on Friday, of course, is the NASCAR The Game Inside Line with the Lousy at Gaming. As always, Minecraft server is up. Get in there and build some stuff. I was doing some OG Minecraft this weekend, or as I like to call it, building Legos. Saturday night, usually date night, but we couldn't get a sitter, so my wife and I stayed in and we built the Ultimate Collection Edition Lego X-Wing.
I saw that. That was cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's still sitting on top of her dresser because I haven't taken it apart yet. She's like, when are you going to take this apart? Never.
No, that's Sean's job.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably break it. not to mention he might choke on stuff. He's not yet 3 and the box says 3+, you know, and I want to be able to file a lawsuit if anything bad happens because I'm an American and that's what we do. So I can't let him play with
it. Yeah.
Right. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 clan looking for some members and the XCOM tournament. We're wrapping up. The last few games are being played and soon the playoffs will begin.
Dino's been doing some good backpedaling on the older Call of Duties just lately.
Yeah, he had a Call of Duty 4 and a Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I haven't seen any announcement from him for something new, but we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Dino, it's his birthday this week. Happy birthday, Dino.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Steve-O-Matic. Happy birthday, Steve Fox 27. Happy birthday, Uncorked Devotee. I believe it's Devotee, but I prefer to say it Devotee because it sounds posh. yeah. And welcome to the new members, Master Zulu, Kryptonians, and Uncorked Devotee. Victories. People are achieving victories. Remember, you have until July 31st to enter your victories for this contest, finish a game, and take a picture of your face and some proof of game finishing. So, victories achieved this week. Congratulations to Mongo the Sane for finishing Batman Arkham City, John Mouse for finishing Forza Horizon and I Am Alive, JSS Lifelike for finishing Zombie U and Scribble Knots Unlimited, Marcanix for finishing Dishonored, Blue Baru for finishing Super Mario Bros. Wii, myself for finishing Journey, Don't Stop Believin', Jonesy for finishing Injustice Gods Among Us, and Frozen Death Bell and It's a Zombie Duck finished Gears of War 2 in co-op. Congratulations. I think that means they have to split the prize if they win. It doesn't.
Possibly.
It doesn't actually mean that. Don't worry about it. Indie Writer's Block. If you want to put some content up on the Indie Writer's Block and potentially even the OverseasConnection.net, contact Jason at iwb@g4te.com or at iwblock. This week, if you haven't had enough food on a stick, you can check out my recipe for homemade corn dogs.
Booyah! Corn dogs are good.
Corn dogs are good. If you want to tell us funny gaming stories or funny corn dog stories or just anything you want to say to the show, you can email it, which Greg already told you, ocpodcast@gmail.com. Tweet us at @OC_podcast. And of course, we want to hear from you on the iTunes and the YouTube. We like reviews. It helps us get out to more listeners.
We need more.
We need more listeners to bring more people to the site so there's more people for you to game with. Think about it that way.
Like it.
I like it. Yeah. Greg, shout out.
Yes. I like it. Shout outs. So I'm going to shout out Bongo the Sane. Bongo, I caught you on the Boss Way podcast. Nicely done. Rich, I believe you were sprinkled in there as well throughout the podcast.
Yeah. You need my blanket over the head trick.
Yeah. Also want to shout out JSS Lifelike. Steve checked in with me today. He's been kind of missing in action just because he's been having fun being a dad.
Oh, so, yeah. How's he doing?
Good on you, Steve. He's doing awesome. Loving life with the kid. Good and he's finally going back to work. So
I'm sure he's pleased about that.
Totally. Very much so. Big shout out to at Mojo Interactive because we're doing a podcast with you guys. I'm excited for that. Sunday,
sorry, I can't
May 19th.
Be there.
It's okay, Mike. Well, we will make you proud.
I have to be in Italy.
I shall endeavor to be there.
Excellent. And for those that want a little different take on a podcast, maybe you just want something that's very funny, comedic, Norm MacDonald has a new podcast called Norm MacDonald Live, and I discovered it the other day, and I got to tell you, I was laughing just laughing the entire time.
Who does he
interview? It was fantastic.
Like known people? Or...
So he does basically all kinds of comedian types. So the first two podcasts I've caught were first one was with Super Dave Osborne, who I never realized how funny that guy is. And when you put him on an uncensored platform – he is off the charts funny. And then the second one was Tom Green.
Oh, yeah.
So so both entertaining, and I believe there's 6 or 7 now up. He just started doing it. Apparently there's a video feed of the podcast as well, but you can just download the audio portion of the podcast. It plays just fine. You know, sometimes when you have a video podcast, you feel like you're missing out on something.
Mm-hmm.
Not this one. But highly recommend it if you want a good laugh. Of course, aside from our spectacular podcast, Norm MacDonald. Not that he needs
cool.
more publicity.
Subscribing there.
Funny guy.
Yes. Rich, why don't you go next?
Shout out to bedtime, because I'm nearly asleep. Oh, so close.
We have to talk about how tired the British people are every week. I mean, not that it ever gets old, but
I'll shout out the Mojo Interactive Boys. So yeah, joint podcast Sunday should be good. Let's see what happens. And also, I want to shout out Andy C5 because I'm talking to him over the Twitters last week about music and stuff. And I'll also shout out the Veteran Gamers because I enjoyed their podcast last week. That was good.
What happened last week?
It was a lot. He
talked about games.
Yeah, he was talking about games. That was good. You did the list thing to do with the sound bites, and I found that quite entertaining.
Your kids came second.
They did, but it wasn't just that. But yeah, that was it. Was good, good fun times. Yeah, that's about it. Chris,
I'm going to shout out the Boss Wave podcast because I gave them a listen last week and I enjoyed it, so I'm a new subscriber. And I'm going to shout out David the Alien because he is our Facebook Fan of the Week. So congratulations, David. If you would perhaps like to be honored as the Facebook Fan of the Week, you just have to like G4TE on Facebook and make a comment on the wall. Any random thing will do. So, yeah, that's me done. I believe that leaves Mike.
Yo, I would like to shout out Stuart Fowler from the Veteran Gamers. It was his birthday. I can't remember what day it was, but it's last week it was.
Happy his birthday.
So I'll shout out him. Shout out Greg for some reason. Oh, for putting up the video, you know, with the fuse and stuff.
Right, fuse demo video.
That's up there now.
I do have to say, Greg, just quickly, I like how we talked about the fuse demo and you and Mike were kind of, yeah, it's okay, and I decided it was really not okay, and somehow that came out to a 4 out of 5.
Because our interpretation of it was it was quite good, and it would be something we would consider.
I read the little grade scale thing. I just thought
read the grade scale. Come on.
I read it. I just like I said, I thought it was kind of.
Did you also like how the video footage I used did not include you?
I didn't even watch the video, I'll be honest. That's okay.
You should watch the video. It's a good time.
I'm
going to get you, by the way. I'm going to get you to do a video with me, as well as you, Rich.
I got to tell you, Greg, the game wasn't that much fun, so the video probably not.
You know what? Mr. Matthew, you disappoint.
I know. It's IO fratricide. I'm sorry.
That's me. Anyway.
Jenny's on his Xbox. It's time to go.
No, I'm done.
I think we're done.
We are
Chris,
done.
Chris, you are definitely done.
You've not fallen asleep, that's fake.
No, I was just sighing. I think a fucking cat's been in from next door.
How are you, Primrose?
Okay.
Good day.
You sound like you're high as a kite.
I've asked Greg what he's been doing today. What have you been doing today?
I'm doodling at the minute.
Doodling?
Yeah. I've been ripping down bathroom walls.
What do you mean you're not at your computer?
I'm sitting by my Xbox. This is the first time I've ever done this, where I've got three USB extension cables from my computer. they talk about it, and I thought I really want to take part. So when they do the pre-show, the next film was Joyful Noise, starring Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah. All right, I got it from the film just so I could listen to it. Apparently, it's like meant to be so bad. So
sounds it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds.
You got me straight tripping in the game, boo.
Fucking hell. If Duke don't sound like that, I don't know what he's going to sound like.
I don't know. Sounds good, though.
My phone just said something, though. My phone says, shut the fuck up and record your podcast. Okay, got it.
Okay. Good. We're good. Let's do it.
I should. Here we go. I'm trying to swear less. On top of
you're doing a terrible job. Doing
a terrible job. On top of
where's the very thing going?
I'm it's going well. I am
very well.
It's going very well.
I'm learning to use stronger.
Get him.
You are. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. But I am learning to use stronger adjectives.
I've always thought it meant gram, as in the weight.
The weight.
Oh, pardon. No, yeah. Mr. Matthew, how would you pronounce a honey-made cracker?
A honey-made cracker?
You know, the type of cracker that it is. Starts with a G.
Oh, I would say a graham cracker.
There you go. Proper pronunciation. Primrose, we don't know what you're talking
about. Fucking Graham! Graham.
Yeah. No, it is. It's...
No,
In the British accent, you place more emphasis on the silent H between the two A's, if you will.
Yeah,
whereas in the American accent, you say it faster. Now, a graham cracker is different than a gram, which is the unit of mass of centimeter of water.
Confusion for me, Chris, was I've only ever heard it in movies. So I've always thought of it being something to do with the weight, as in, it's a graham cracker. That's how much it weighs.
Oh.
How funny. Is that a cat?
A gram is actually a measure of mass.
Unless it's a graham cracker.
Yes.
All right. Shit. I should have known not to break out the units when I was talking to a physics maestro.
All right. We good?
Yeah.
We done eating crackers, crisps?
I'm still eating, but I can't move.
What you call a cracker, we would call a candy bar.
Potato chip.
No?
No, potato chip.
No. No, they call
crisps.
That
crisp. Crisps, yeah. Wait, cracker would be a candy bar?
Nah.
No.
What would you call a Twix bar?
A Twix, that would be chocolate biscuit
chocolate.
Snack.
Just a chocolate.
Oh. All right. I don't know what I'm talking about then.
Yeah. Biscuity chocolate thing, but mainly chocolate.
So I thought biscuits were cookies.
Biscuits are cookies, but...
We're going down the
road. We have cookies
I love this. I love this discussion. Let it go.
Chocolate chip. Your chocolate chip cookies.
I never get tired of discussing this.
Your chocolate chip cookies are just cookies for us. That's it. Cookies.
Much easier.
Oh, that's much easier.
Oh, God, those look good.
Don't they, though? My father-in-law makes the most delicious.
They're scones! They're scones.
No.
But a scone is sweet.
No, they're not. Not over it. You can get griddle scones. You can get other. You can get savory scones that you'd have cheese in and stuff like that. And they look like
them. Are they soft? Are they soft?
Yeah,
or are they?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
There we go.
So a biscuit to us is a savory scone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Savory scone.
I'm telling you,
get along.
We need a dictionary for this.
I'm telling you, Rich, come to my house and I will make you some good biscuits and sawmill gravy.
You know, I'd love them because, you know, do you get dumplings? Do you have dumplings over there?
Yes.
Yes,
yes.
But you have dumplings and gravy, yeah?
Well, we have biscuits.
Well,
and gravy.
See, yeah, we have biscuits and gravy. This is where I'm wondering if dumplings might be the better equivalent to biscuits.
No,
not scones.
No, dumpling is different.
Dumplings different. It's made out, it's got suet in it.
It's got what in it?
Suet.
I'm not. I'm with Greg on
I'm
this.
I'm at a loss.
Suet. Fucking hell. Here we go. Right. Let's go. Google images.
Well, it also depends on if you're talking about an American dumpling or a Chinese dumpling.
Also true.
Images.
I knew a Chinese dumpling one.
Suet. Well, what the hell is suet?
Suet.
When you first said it, I thought
what
you said
Americans
suet.
Do to everything.
Now that's true. I hate it.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Video games are for old people.
Some talk about
too
RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.